Adeline and Christine.
Okay. Very good evening to all, huh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. We will prepare for Pujana. We will get Adeline and Christie, mother and daughter, to help light the candle and the incense. So today is the 12th December, 2019, huh? Thursday class. Yeah, let us stand, get ready for puja offering. Okay, we start with the tray. Sadhu, 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 yeah, sadhu, 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 Sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Never mind. We offer from there. We rejoice. Just rejoice from there. Sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Oh. Okay, let us get ready for puja chanting. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can visit that. Then let us turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant from the Vandana onward. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami. Dhatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dhatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, dhatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Osavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we are chanting the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadang sena tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena dupena hang suganghina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punena ติณะเจโหตุโมกังปุพังมิลายติยัตตาอิรังเมกายโยตัตตายติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปาริกาปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาตุมุตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปาเลปาริกาปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาตุมุตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตโบจานังปาริกาปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาตุมุตมัง Now you chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to seek them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pujya. Badang Pujayami. Damang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we can have half an hour of silent inner awareness meditation. We are off the light. Then you just relax body and mind. Make sure you have a stable posture. Your posture can be anything that is suitable for you, conducive for you to maintain the mind to be quiet, to be in a relaxed state of inner awareness. When you understand what meditation is, it's very easy. You technically don't have to do anything. As long as your mind is not active, there is no thinking. You are actually meditating. But if you are new, if you have not trained your mind, if your spiritual faculties are not there, the Buddha said the mental hindrance, the opposite five mental hindrances will take over. And because of this mental hindrance, you are not able to live an orderly life or a life that is heedful in the midst of life. And because of that, your daily life is not in order, disorder. So you tend to have this mental hindrance that hinders your mind from becoming peaceful, from having the ability to enter the meditative state of inner calmness, inner peacefulness, and inner awareness. So when the mental hindrance are active, you will think, thought process will arise. And these are called habitual thinking, sankhara activity. They keep on arising within your brain. And these thoughts that arise, they are respond from your memories, from the heedless activity that you have been doing. So if throughout the day you are not mindful, you are not aware, during sense experience, all this sensual desire, you will like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, they are your first two mental hindrances, born of the evil roots of greed and hatred, supported by self-delusion. That's why you have this tendency to react to sense experience, and you do it so habitually throughout the day. It becomes a habit. So when you sit to meditate, this habitual thinking will continue. Then the mental proliferation will cause you to be heedless. Then you cannot meditate because this will distract you. So the best way to understand meditation is accept that reality. If you have not trained your mind, develop the ability to be mindful, aware, and silent within, then you have to train it. To train it, you need to build up your spiritual faculty, the five spiritual faculty, Sadda, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. So this one, if you build it up with an understanding that I have taught you before, then you will have the spiritual faculty to help you overcome the mental hindrance, and that is the most stable way, the ultimate solution. But before that, let's say before your spiritual faculties are developed, you still want to meditate, then you need to develop some form of skillful means to help you to temporarily decondition the heedless thinking, and in so doing, the mental hindrance will be temporarily kept at bay. They cannot be active. Then you use that skillful means to help you develop the initial calmness, the initial peacefulness. Then you have to stabilize this quiet mind or silent mind, the mind that is very much more stable, less heedless thinking. The skillful means that I share is, we call it the mind sweeping method combined with metta. And this one you can read it up from the transcript book, the blue book, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha. So I will not give you those instructions anymore. You just do it if you can recall the instruction. Starting from your mind, relax body and mind, silent everything, then just let things be. If the thought arise, the heedless thinking arise, let it be. As long as you don't react, don't create any like or dislike, maintain the silence and just observe what is going on. The observation is without the thought. When the thought arises, you are not observing anymore. You are already distracted by the thinking. You have become heedless. Your mind has wandered off, preoccupied with the thought process. That's why when you observe, there is no thought. Whenever thought arises, bring the awareness back, the attention back. If you really want to progress fast, you can just relax, maintain awareness, and don't do anything. Whatever arises, let it arise. Then just maintain awareness. Acknowledge it, aware, finish. Don't do anything. Then patiently, silent, relax, find out what happened. That thinking mind will slow down. Then finally it become very quiet, very still. This is the fastest way to meditate. You don't have to do the mind sweeping method and metta if you know how to do this. So I will leave it to you all, whichever thing that is more suitable for you to train your mind and develop the meditative peace, which is the inner peace, inner calmness, and the inner awareness or mindfulness. The awareness is just the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind. So you can train until your mind become very quiet, very peaceful, and very still. That is the beginning of meditation. After you can do that, you just silent everything and let it be. Until that quietness, that stillness, the tranquility become very stable. Then in between, before your mundane mind completely cease, you can just maintain awareness, aware. Don't allow the thought to carry on, just aware. That's why observe until it ends. Observe until the thought ends, no more thinking. If the thought continue, means you are not really observing. You have introduced thought energy, that's why it can continue to proliferate and think. Otherwise it will slow down, quiet, then become very still. Try that today. For those who are more familiar with the mind sweeping method, metta, you can also do it, it's up to you. Okay, I will let you meditate on your own, and when the half an hour is up, the alarm will go off, then I will ring the bell. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind states that you have trained and developed, and you have to use this to live life. Once they stabilize, you can be in that state throughout the day when you are living your life, whether you are working or you are doing your household duty at home, or when you are outdoor doing whatever things that you are doing in life. So daily mindfulness is very important. If you can be in those mind state, means you are ever mindful and heedful in the midst of life. When you are heedful in the midst of life, means you are destined for enlightenment. The Buddha confirmed it under Dhammapada verse 23. So this training is very important. Training of the mind to be mindful. Then develop it until it's so stable, until the mind enters a deep. Then when you come out of it, everything you do is in sati. You are aware, you are mindful. That becomes a transformed mind that is heedful, leading to heedful living. Then most of the time you are just aware, without thought. You only need to use thought, then you arise the thought. If you don't need to use thought, you don't have to arise the thought. But before you train, you think a lot. You are heedless. You are not in the meditative state. And most of the time, the unenlightened one, they are heedless. They are deluded. They think a lot. That's why they have a lot of worry, anxiety. At every moment of sense experience, the thought activity proliferate non-stop. Then for no reason, you worry, you think. Most of the time, if you are not trained your mind, you are not really aware within the moment. That's why you can't live life. To live life is to have the ability to be silent, quiet, peaceful, and be with the moment, to observe, to understand what is going on. That is living life within the moment, see things as they are, the reality. But instead of doing that, if you are lost in thought, think, worry, as I always say, human beings, most of the time, they are thinking, planning, and worrying about life throughout the day. That's why they are totally heedless. When you are heedless, you exist a true life. You never live life because you are never aware. So awareness is the beginning of meditation. To have more and more moment of awareness means you have less thinking. But this can never come about unless you have developed wisdom, understanding, straightening of your views. That's why initial wisdom, yonisomanasikara, is very important. And yonisomanasikara can only come about through constantly listening to the Dhamma, then reflect, contemplate, then meditate to develop the true understanding. Then this first, second turning, and third turning wisdom, when they arise, it will protect you, it will make you heedful. Then you are no longer like before, constantly lost in thought, heedlessly thinking, worrying, planning, and do all those things. Okay, now we will continue with the chanting. Turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Chakvali nantu saggamokkhadam dhammasavana kalo ayam badanta dhammasavana kalo ayam badanta dhammasavana kalo ayam badanta namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sam namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho vijja charana sampano sukato lokavido anotaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanam buddho bhagavati suakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pacatang veditabo vinohiti supatipano bhagavato sakasango ujupatipano vato sakasango nyaya patipano bhagavato sakasango samici patipano bhagavato sakasango yatidang chatari purisa yukhani atta purisa pugala visa bhagavato sakasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo anjali karaneyo anuterang punya kita lokasati sadyu sadyu sadyu. Okay, let's pay respect to Buddha. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Then just relax body and mind, and we will have our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have. You just have to raise your hand, then report to us exactly how you do your meditation, and I will be able to guide you after that. Then if you got any question related to meditation or the teaching, you can also ask. Anybody? You must try your very best to report. When you report, you create condition for me to develop the ability to share. Then where you go wrong from your reporting, my nature will know. Otherwise, you can ask question. Anybody? We will pass you the mic after you raise your hand. Again, very shy, very quiet. Okay, if you don't have question, then what is it that you want to learn? Maybe I get some feedback from you all. Ah, yes, Adeline. Yeah, pass to Adeline.
During the meditation,
yes.
Stillness is there.
Yeah.
So very just good. Follow okay. your method. I mean that you're sharing.
Yeah.
Just assume that you're dead.
Yeah.
Because for me, I know that to relax is very difficult
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, not easy.
Not easy. So
unless you have the understanding.
Yeah.
And when you have the understanding, to relax is not to do anything. Yeah. The Mandarin word is very good. Fang song. Fang song. I think the message can become clearer. Because when you relax, you really relax. That word relax, you relax your entire body and mind. When you are relaxed, you don't do anything in there. True or not? When you want to get angry or what people tell you, relax lah. Understand or not? Means don't get angry, don't become emotional, don't become agitated. Ah, that is relax. So when you come here to meditate, you're supposed to relax. When you relax, you become peaceful. You become calm, quiet. Then your mind returns to its original state. You are tranquil, still. That is meditation. And it's so easy. But because most people don't know how to relax, like Adeline said, to really relax is not easy, I tell you. That's why a lot of people, they cannot relax. They are very stressful. Do you know, realize? They can't even sleep. How to relax, they tell you. They got a lot of things up there. Those who have insomnia, they will know. Sometimes they drink coffee although they cannot sleep. Then sometimes they drink Chinese tea for some people, also they cannot sleep. That's why it can be serious. When you cannot sleep, your mind cannot rest. Do you know what is the outcome of that? You become miserable. Those who cannot sleep, they can tell you. A lot of problems. So what Adeline developed through the understanding is very good. Assume you are dead. I always tell Kayamita, assume you are dead. Assume means you are not really dead. But you have to act as if you are dead. Means what? A dead man cannot think. But you can think. So you are still not dead. But if I tell you assume you are dead, means what? When I tried in the early day, I tell myself, if I am dead, I cannot respond, isn't it? True or not? So whatever thought arise, I am dead. I am not supposed to respond. That's why I maintain the silence within awareness. Then through that silence, I realize I can see what is going on. But when I see, I do not respond to what I see. Do you understand? Human beings who are deluded and heedless, their problem is they keep on responding to what they see, what they hear, what they smell, what they tactile feel and think. That's why they are not peaceful. In Hokkien, we call this kepo. You're very kepo. Everything also want to know. Everything also want to comment. Like inside there, endless chattering. Endless what they call verbalization, then a lot of complaint inside there, understand? The emotion inside there, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, then aversion. Then sometimes things go your way, you develop the excitement, the joy, understand? And that one is not peaceful. Do you realize that one is very agitated one? But you don't know how to develop the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, to be at peace, to have the joy born of understanding and peaceful mind. Those are the mind state of enlightened being, but you seldom get to experience them because you are hardly quiet, you are hardly still. You don't know how to relax. To relax is, to me, the easiest thing. When I don't have to do anything, I just relax. Yeah. And my teacher say, relax, enjoy. That is meditation to him. Well, he enjoys meditation, he loves meditation. When he meditates, he's very peaceful. He's very quiet, he's very still, he's just aware. And through the awareness, there is clarity. There is understanding. The understanding is not through the thought. The understanding comes from observation, comes from the ability to observe. A very good example is if you want to understand your kid when they are young or school children, what must you do? Observe them, is that? But parents are not observing them. Maybe some are. Some who are more observant, they will observe. Then they will know their kid. When they have certain problem, they behave like that. That's why the mother who are observant, they know. But most mother are not observant. Do you know what they are doing or not? They actually look at the kid, but they think a lot. They assume that the kid is very naughty. The kid, they are very protective. They scared the kid fall down. Means you are not observing. When you are observing, don't do anything. And it's very, very interesting. You look at the way they behave. They are very innocent. They are very cute. Understand? That's why you can see all these character in them, characteristics in them. When the kid, without any conditioning from us, they are very innocent. They are very cute. They do think, that's why you can really love and have the joy through observing them. And they never pretend. They never have the cunningness, the whatever. But later on, yeah, they become very cunning. Because they learn from you. When they want, you don't want to give. Then they know they cry, they get. So lao kai and all those things. So all these are the way of the mundane mind. If you fail to observe, you are not patient enough, you cannot see. But when you are patient enough, you can see. Then you can say, oh, this kid is like that one. Then sometimes they have hearing problem, you know. You call them, they don't respond, and then you know. That's how observation helps you to develop understanding. But we are too fast in using our thought process. That's why we never observe. Then we scold them first. Boy, cannot sit. Don't run around. This is dangerous. You are introducing all of your whatever views, opinion, and conditioning into that children. That's why you never learn. You never observe. You actually control them. Do you realize? Those who become teachers, they will know. Sometimes the kids are very naughty. So if you try to control them, you will have a lot of headache because they are very naughty. So Christy now know, become teacher already. But the advantage of teacher is school holiday now. 1 month plus. It also a 1 month holiday. Full pay. That's the advantage and the disadvantage. So meditation is about observation. If you observe your kid silently, don't comment, don't react, let the kid go on with whatever they want. And then you will understand why he is like that. He or she is like that. then you can see their innocence and all. So this is the reality that you are observing, understand? No? You are not using your views, opinion, and conditioning and trying to preempt what the kid is doing. Before they can even do the thing, you already scold them, understand? No? Or you already threaten them. You cannot go there. You cannot do this. You cannot do that. Then sometimes, because you over-concern about their safety and all those things, then for us, the second generation children, they have parents who have this kiasu attitude. You understand what is kiasu, huh? Because you can afford. So everything also you want to be like on par or better than others. So kiasu means you subject your kid, your children to all the training and want to make them the best. So sometimes the school already have enough homework and problem. That's why a lot of children scared of going to Chinese school, Mandarin school, a lot of homework. There are a lot of activity. Yeah. Then on top of that, the parent in the open area send them to piano class. Send them to all the ballet class and all those things. That special tuition and all those things. Initially, maybe the kid enjoy, but certain kids, they really don't enjoy. They don't like that type of life. So you have to be observant. You cannot force them to do things that they don't like. Look, observe, understand their background, their karmic background. Then if they are talented in certain things, groom them, support them. That is what parents are for. Not to force them to study things that make you proud as parent, understand? No? That every time is, boy, good for you, you must learn this, you must learn that. They don't have life, understand? No? They don't really live the life of a kid. Then sometimes they like to play. The parents are so strict. Cannot. This neighbor, you cannot play with them because you think it will influence their kid and make them spoil child and all those things. So meditation is the same. Meditation, who do you observe? You got no children inside your body and mind. Eh? So who do you observe? Huh? Who was that naughty fellow inside there? The thought, the mundane mind, understand? They say this is Sun Wukong, understand? Monkey mind, run around. So you have to observe and understand why he do that. He do that out of ignorance, out of delusion. That's why you have fear. Why do you have fear? Well, the monkey mind deluded, don't understand. That's why the first response is to have fear, worry, anxiety. Then when they attach and cling on to things without understanding, they suffer. They become miserable, afflicted. And this is real meditation, do you understand? When you have daily mindfulness, you are very sensitive. You can see all this before they even move or stir your mind and condition you into those negativity or mind state. You already aware. Then with the Dhamma understanding, the initial wisdom, it prompts you, this is delusion. This will lead to suffering. These are evil root. Root of all evil. Make you evil. Cause your karmic doubt. So all this understanding keep on manifesting. Spontaneously. That's a yoniso manasikara. Wisdom at the moment of sense experience. Immediately when you see something, it will arise. That's how you can see things as they are. With the initial wisdom, it will prompt you. And that right view will enable you to be at peace. You will not stir your mind. You will not react to sense experience. That's how you develop mindfulness. That's how you can become quiet, peaceful. That's how your mind become different. Then that quietness is the beginning of mindfulness. When you don't react to sense experience anymore, means most of the time you are quiet, at peace. You don't have to arise your thought. But when you don't understand, you keep on reacting, stirring your mind, complaining. And you are not living life. That's why if you do that, you become heedless. So meditation is to reverse all this to an understanding. Understanding can only surface when you are completely quiet and still to observe. Just like you observe how your kid behave, you will see all the innocent characteristics of the kid. And you will understand the kid very well, because this is his or her true nature. They respond like that, they behave like that. When they are at that age, with that type of mind, they will do that thing. But every kid is different, you will know. So likewise, when you observe yourself, you can see the same old thing. That one, you no longer see the innocent. What do you see? The cunningness, the deceitfulness, the evil roots, the anger, the emotion, the fear, the jealousy, the envy. You start to see all this. Then you realize, no wonder the Buddha say living beings are deluded, ignorant, full of ignorance, full of delusion. Why must we do all those things? It's because out of self-delusion, ignorant, without the right understanding and the right view, the mundane mind become like that. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara, that link become very clear to you. Then you realize without avijja, there is no need to think, no need to arise any thought. That's why you can be quiet, you can be peaceful. So the skill in developing the peaceful mind, the relaxed awareness within, is understanding, wisdom. When you understand, you will know how to meditate. No need to do anything. Relax and wait. Silent. The tranquility, the stillness, the meditative mind, the true mind, they will surface. And that is what you're supposed to realize. Is that difficult? That is not difficult. But because you don't understand what is meditation, you think meditation is some fantastic exercise, must sit still until you cannot move, then focus, concentrate, object of meditation, and who is doing? All the time the thought is doing. And when thought is actively doing, how can you observe? How can you understand? They do that because they cannot be quiet. Understand or not? That's why they want to focus and control and kill the thought so that the thought doesn't think. And there is energy field, suppression, control. But people are gullible. They don't understand. They thought meditation must be some fantastic experience. You must do something. You must meditate. And who meditate? The thought is very actively meditate. As I sent out a Jai Krishnamurti code, now I go into that one. That one will help you. You go to my Kayanamita. Okay. Kayanamita, the date is 1 day earlier, I forgot already. Yeah, yesterday. Okay, Jai Krishnamurti online quote. All religion are invented by? You agree or not? Don't just accept what Krishnamurti say. We discuss it. All religion are invented by thought. Without thought, without the human mind, there is no religion, understand? What is invented may be called sacred, true or not? Where they say all religions are sacred. But it is not sacred. Do you know why Jai Krishnamurti say that? Yeah? Why is thought not sacred? Yeah. Before it's enlightened, it's deluded. And it has the ignorant, the evil root. So how can it be sacred? And you never meditate to find out what is thought. Thought is response to memory. Without memory, there is no thought. That's why you look at the baby when they are just born, the first few weeks, or even the first 1 month, they have no thought. But they have not accumulated anything in their memory yet. No vocab, nothing yet. You have to teach them. So without memory, there is no thought. So thought is respond to memory. That's why you read on, you will understand. Thought is not sacred. Thought is a material process. This one is very easy to understand here. True or not? Thought is not sacred, but it's a material process. How do you create thought? Through memory, isn't it? The material that you accumulate, isn't it? The facts, the knowledge, and all things that you accumulate, isn't it? So thought is a material process, the accumulation of knowledge and memory. So if this is thought, how can it be secret? Understand? Thought come and go. Thought is respond to memory. And how can that be secret? Secret means what? Eternal life. Beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why the Buddha teach the Dhamma under the salutation to the Dhamma. He say, well expounded is the Dhamma by him. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Then he said, the characteristics of this Dhamma you have to understand. This Dhamma is sanditiko, he said. Can be realized in the here and the now. No need to wait until death. Means enlightenment is not about after death only you reach the kingdom of God and you meet up with God, union with God, then only you become enlightened. So which means you must die first. Then only they promise you the eternal life. The what they call kingdom of God for certain religion. But the Buddha said, no. If it's something sacred, you must be able to realize that before you die. That's why this Dhamma is sanditiko. Then this Dhamma is akaliko, the Buddha said. It's beyond thought, beyond mind. So he used the instrument which is thought to invent religion, and you use thought to interpret the religion and believe what will happen to you. How can thought base bring you to the state of beyond thought? True or not? You will enter delusion. Do you understand? That's why he wants to explain to you in a very simple manner. So this particular code is very useful to protect you. So all religion, he said, throughout our planet or in this universe, they are invented by thought. It's very clear. Without thought, no religion. Then, whatever that is invented, they call it sacred. That's why he used the word maybe called sacred. But it is not sacred at all. Because thought itself can never be sacred. Your thought is a material process, the accumulation of knowledge and memory. So meditation is the same. How can you use thought to meditate? How can you use thought to observe? Thought cannot observe. Thought create more thinking. Understand? And thought cannot see things as they are. Like Engby said, thought before is enlightened, you don't know how to use thought. Because the user of thought, if it's not enlightened with delusion, thought becomes deluded. And thought can never be right thought. Because without right view, there is no right thought. So always remember that. If you remember that, you will not be gullible and you will know how to approach life beautifully. Thought has its place in life, in society. You must understand that. It's not what people think. That thought is the culprit. So don't use thought. No. To live life, for certain aspect in life, you need to use thought. To learn math, science, to do mechanical thing, you use thought. But when it comes to psychological thing, understanding thing, you cannot use thought. You want to accumulate knowledge? Use thought. Thought is very good. So thought has its purpose. Memory has its purpose. Like for us, our society demands that you have memory. Otherwise, you forget what your name is. True or not? Huh? You don't have memory, can you remember who are you, your name? Then your bank account, how you sign your check. You cannot remember. What is your PIN also, you cannot remember. That's why all this, you need memory, you need thought. Where you stay, who are your parents, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your loved ones. So all this, you need memory, you need thought. But these are non-harmful. Because these are knowledge that you need to remember, understand? Then when you learn maths and science, technical thing. But when it comes to psychological memory, like your fear, your scars of memory, your phobia, your whatever deep resentment, unhappy moments in life, all those things, when you are being abused, hurt by people, when you go through hell, or when you are being threatened during very dangerous moment in life. So all these are your psychological memory and experiences. You don't go and accumulate them and allow them to create all the fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation in you. Well, these are psychological memory that you should not carry. But you can allow them to exist in your memory. But you must know, these are all the psychological memory. So when I use thought, I must have the wisdom and the awareness to see all this. So like the Buddha said, when you have developed the understanding of the teaching, you will have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path. Then you act with Noble Eightfold Path, which is the wisdom way. So when you act with Noble Eightfold Path, means you act according to understanding or wisdom born of the teaching. So Noble Eightfold Path will tell you to start with right view. That's why you must have right view, to arise the right thought, to live life, not the wrong thought. And what are wrong thoughts? Thoughts that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, and all of the deluded memory. These are all wrong thoughts. So when you think that wrong thought, all this negative mind state will haunt you and afflict you. Will condition your suffering, your misery. Then you check, you reflect. The memory that create this wrong thought are what? That's why when you are silent, even when you dream, you will see. Especially when you dream of this, what they call nightmare that you dream. How many of you still got nightmare? You still have, means you haven't rooted them out, you haven't developed the wisdom. Especially those who graduated from uni, you still dream you haven't finished your exam. You still got paper to go. That fear is actually trapped inside. Because you don't have the wisdom and the understanding, and you don't know what thought is, it continues to surface and haunt you as dream. Dream are your subconscious and unconscious release of all the trapped memories, your trapped phobia, whatever that you accumulate, attach, cling and hold. Eckhart Tolle call it the pain body which is dormant, because there is no condition for it to arise. But this memory, when you attach, cling, the Buddha actually knew you will have suffering because thought is respond to memory. So Krishnamurti called it disorder. when you accumulate all this rubbish, it creates disorder in your memory. You're familiar with the word disorder, isn't it? When society has order, means what? Rule of law applies, isn't it? There is harmony, isn't it? So everything status quo, isn't it? But when there is no more order, means there is problem, understand? War, riot. There's no more rule of law. People do what they like. So when your brain is in disorder, it's the same thing. There is no more rule inside there. Chaos inside there. That word chaos is better than riot. Upside down, the whole thing inside. That's the slightest thing. There is fear. There is worry. There is anxiety. There is emotion. That's how you function as a human being. And when you see all this through the meditation and even in your sleep, you start to understand who you are, what you are, what the form of mind is. Then you will be very clear about what constitutes wrong thought and how it arises. What are the memories that trigger off this? So you look at the whiteboard here. This is wrong thought. Okay? So memory is an accumulation of experiences, good and bad. So if we were to trace our memory, then we know. We have fear, we have phobia, we tend to have worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, etc. So, since thoughts are response to all this memory, even your insecurity up here, it will create the wrong thought that condition your negative emotion, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. So, this is the easiest way to identify wrong thought. That's why whenever you are fearful, not peaceful, you have worry, anxiety, sorrow, and these are all wrong thoughts. Means the evil roots are there. Then what must you do? The five ways to overcome unwholesome thought, the Buddha taught you. First way is what? To think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. That's why they ask you to develop metta. Understand? Loving kindness. Then after that, to reflect on the danger and the consequence of allowing this wrong thought to continue to arise in your brain, in your mind, your mundane mind. What will happen if this wrong thought continues to arise? You will have all this fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, the emotional negativity, the selfishness, the greed, the desire, the lust, and all that. All this will create negativity of karma, suffering to you. Create a lot of misery, suffering, affliction. So when you understand this, you will arise the right effort to abandon them or to root them out. If you don't root them out, these are evil roots, root of all evil. And they are very detriment to your karma. So when you understand that, you were determined to go all out to develop an understanding so that you can be free of it. Because these are wrong thoughts. The danger of having them is they make you evil and cause your karmic negativity and karmic downfall, and your life is affected. Then the third way is the meditative way. The third way, the Buddha said, you have to develop the understanding of it, the wisdom. He said, when this emotion, the wrong thought arise, silence your mind. That's why when you meditate, you just silent, don't do anything. Be with it. Whether it's fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, or lamentation, or anger, or negative emotion, just stay with it. Don't do anything. That's why in meditation, you train your mind to be quiet, peaceful, aware, so that you have this ability to meditate. When you are not peaceful, silent, and aware, how can you be with the emotion, the wrong thought? When you are with the wrong thought, the emotion, the fear, the anger, or whatever emotion, negative one, you find out for yourself what will happen. If you are just aware, relax. observer, no interference, not trying to do anything, not trying to reason or analyze or do anything, just silent. What will happen to you? The emotion will subside. The anger will subside. The fear will subside. The worry, anxiety, insecurity, everything will subside. Then you must go through it at least once until you feel your mind completely still and quiet. Then after that, when you come out of it, you will develop the wisdom. And the wisdom is very clear. Sometimes even within there, when the tranquility and stillness happen, you straight away understand already. No wonder the Buddha is so wise. Because the Buddha said the five aggregate of form and mind, they are impermanent, lead to suffering. Because they are impermanent, it's non-self, not me. So fear is not you, anger is not you, phobia is all this negativity of mind state that create the wrong thought. They are not intrinsic to your true mind. They are not you. If anger is not me, fear is not me, then why I worry about it? Why do I say, I still have anger, I still have fear, I am still not enlightened? There is delusion in it. What the Buddha wants you to understand, all these are sankhara. They are dependent originating, condition arising. Because before there is fear, do you have fear? There was no fear there. Before the anger arise, there was no anger there. Then how did anger arise? How did fear arise? It's because of some condition, isn't it? So that's why when you understand this, then you are at peace. Then you understand you have a nature within that doesn't move, doesn't transform, doesn't do anything. That one is the eternal life. That one is the unconditioned. That one got no words, no concept, no suffering. That is your true mind, your true nature. That's why stay there, observe, understand. Then you will awaken. Then the Buddha say, move on to the fourth way after that. Otherwise the third way, already very useful, helpful, but it cannot free you completely. Because you haven't developed the real wisdom yet. The third way is, every time you got problem, you go and meditate. Understand? You go and quiet yourself down, go to one corner or lie down or sit quietly, then become peaceful. Then after that, you come back into life, what happened? Situation happened again, you angry again, understand? You still have the emotion, the fear. All these are not rooted out. So the third way is a good way to understand, but it has not developed the real wisdom. So the real wisdom is the fourth way, the Buddha said. And the fourth way, the Buddha said, through mindfulness, through awareness, through sati, trace the origination factor. And how do you trace the origination factor? Take for example, anger. Why did you get angry? It's either somebody do something, isn't it? That condition you to have the anger, isn't it? Or you saw somebody you don't like, isn't it? True or not? So it's through one of your senses. Whether you hear something you don't like to hear, or you see somebody that you don't like to see, or you recall to memory something that trigger off the phobia, the fear, and the emotion, and the anger. So your these three doors, seeing, hearing, thinking, they are very powerful, very strong. Whereas the tasting and the smell, not so serious. Worst case scenario is the taste you don't like, understand? Like mala. But some people like mala, understand? Or very pungent, foul smell, understand? That's the worst case scenario, understand? But the one that can condition your fear, your emotion, and your anger very strongly one is most of the time through memory, thinking, or what you see and what you hear. So he said, trace the origination factor. So before you see, before you hear, or you recall, you have no fear, no anger. True or not? Then the moment how come you hear, you see, you recall to memory, your anger spring off. So trace the origination factor. What is the origination factor? Why did I do that? That will cause suffering in me, understand? No? The anger is an evil root. Very severe emotion. Fear is an evil root. Delusion. So why did I do that? Then you realize you don't have the wisdom. You cannot see things as they are. You cannot accept them for what they are. You cannot accept the world as they are. Condition like that, things will be like that. People are just the way they are. Ignorant people do ignorant things. Angry people do angry things. Violent people do violent. They are just the way they are. So if I have this wisdom, if I can accept them for what they are through understanding, having right view. And most of the time it's because of karma. Maybe last time I did all these things to other people. Now got condition, these people do it back to me. I reap what I sow. So when I understand with right view that it's karma, I accept. Then I do what I have to do. Then I'm at peace. Then when I'm at peace, there is clarity, then I move. I do what I need to do. I have to ask for forgiveness, I ask. In front of Triple Gem, I do. Whomsoever from the distant past until now. Whether knowingly or unknowingly that this nature of mine have caused them any karmic negativity or suffering or misery, my this nature sincerely ask for forgiveness from the Triple Gem and from all these beings. May my sincere request for apology be accepted. May all beings be well and happy. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then all this has its effect. Then I act with one. I straighten my view, so that the next time I see the same thing, hear the same thing, or similar thing, or recall similar memory, I will not stir my mind, I will not react. Which means you straighten your view. You develop the wisdom to see things as they are, not according to what your memory tells you. Your memory has a lot of all this rubbish inside there that condition the wrong thought. So when you straighten your view, when you understand all this through meditation, through silent observation, then you become transformed. That's what Yoniso Manasikara is all about. Initial wisdom leading to awakening, the third turning wisdom. And this is how you develop the meditation. So the third way and the fourth way is the meditative way. You understand? That's how you root out the negative emotion. That's why meditation is to train your mind to be aware, to be silent, so that when this emotion, wrong thought all come out, you can stay with it. Otherwise you don't have the training, how can you stay? Fear will arise. Emotion will arise. Ignorance will stir your mind. And you will be afflicted by what happened, because you lack understanding, you lack wisdom. So meditation is to develop the ability to be very quiet, very still, and just aware, to develop the right understanding, to see things clearly, to observe and develop the wisdom, then straighten your view, then live life, then you will know how to act. That's what the Buddhist teaching is all about. Sati, mindfulness, awareness, which is just the silent mind before the knowing, without thought, just aware. When you are silent, aware, you can observe, you can understand, you can awaken. That's what the Buddhist teaching is all about. So understand this very clearly, then you will know how to meditate. And you will know how to develop the progress following Avijja Sutta, the 10th step. Step 2 is very important. Constantly listening to the Dhamma, reflect, contemplate, and straighten your view. Develop the initial wisdom. After that, the faith will come. Third step. Then after the faith come, the initial wisdom, Yoniso Manasikara, also will arise. Once the fourth step is there, very easy already. The fifth step is daily mindfulness. Because with the initial wisdom, the daily mindfulness will come. Then you will have the four type of clear comprehension to prevent you from losing your way. Then after that, you are home. Step 6 and 7 is automatic. After your daily mindfulness come, you will have sense restraint, where you are ever mindful. You are constantly aware, ever mindful, constantly meditating. Then you can see a lot of things very clearly, because your daily mindfulness is already very stable. In the midst of life, you are already heedful. That's why after that, you have sense restraint. You can never break your precept anymore. Whatever you see through your senses, hear, smell, taste, tactile feel or think, the sense restraint is there because the wisdom, the initial wisdom, it will prompt you straight away, respond spontaneously, and your mind will not stir anymore. That's why you have more and more moment of peace, space between thought, tranquility, stillness, leading to daily mindfulness. So this is how you will progress. When the sense restraint is there, the next step is the three type of right conduct, automatic. Right speech, right thought, and right action will be there. Then after that, when you cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, step 8 is very easy. Where with that mindfulness develop, sati sampajana, initial wisdom, and the sense restraint, you invoke power of merit, the meditation will take off. And it will arise the causes and conditions for you to awaken. Then you start to witness the seven factors of enlightenment, which is step 9. Keep on arising all the seven factors of enlightenment. Sati leading to Dhamma investigation, Dhamma vichaya. Then you will have what they call virya. Virya lead to piti, piti lead to paucity, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, then samadhi, then equanimity when the wisdom is developed. So all these seven factors are like that when they arrive, you know you are on the right path. Enlightenment in the here and the now will surface. Because they are factors of enlightenment that bring about enlightenment. That's why after that step 10, enlightenment in the here and the now, they will surface. And the form and mind will develop the wisdom and the understanding. That's why after the wisdom is connected to the form and mind, you can say the form and mind is enlightened. But this fellow is not you. Do you understand? Where this is impermanent, go the way of nature. But that wisdom that is connected to it is very important. It prevents this form and mind from being deceived, deluded by the phenomenal world. It understands the five aggregate of form and mind clearly. It understands life, it knows how to live life. It knows how to develop its right understanding to live life beautifully. That's why it will have right duty. It will still do the correct thing. It will not simply act and simply do things. It will still have the right understanding to do the right thing following Noble Eightfold Path. And when you have that, the third phase of Dhamma will surface. The fruit of your hard work. You will get to live the life of an enlightened being. Then you get to live life to the fullest. You get to experience the pristine beauty and wonders of life, moment to moment. Then life becomes meaningful, wonderful. And you are so beautiful. You can become a blessing to all. You will have a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, born of your understanding. And your mind is always tranquil, still, peaceful, aware, and heedful. That is the noble life. That is the life of an Arya, an enlightenment. And that is what the Buddha's teaching or the Buddha's meditation is capable of giving you. So do not wait or do not sleep. The word is do not sleep anymore. Wake up. Because this is something money cannot buy. This is something very useful and very important to each and every one of us. So when you have the understanding, your sadha virya will surface. Then you will go all out to cultivate. Then sati will come, samadhi will be developed, and wisdom will arise. That's how the five spiritual faculties help you, open the way for you to develop the understanding and the awakening. So all the Dhamma, when you understand, they become very clear, very easy, very straightforward. So because of Adeline's very simple question and sharing, the condition arise for this sharing. Shall we rejoice? Eh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That's why it's very important. It's not what your question is. It's the condition that it will trigger off. But she started very well. She started with the understanding. That's why he assumed she is dead. That's how she can develop the progress. Then you can really observe inside there. When you are dead means what? You cannot think. You cannot respond. Even very itchy, very painful, also cannot do anything. You remind yourself, I am dead. Then, relax. Try it. Fire. Especially when there is itchiness, you cannot scratch. Fire. Then you see how it disappears. Really, it disappears. It will not affect you. Pain also gone. The moment you can relax, there is a pure energy that actually clears it. Yeah. But these are craving force, understand? You know what is craving force or not? That itchiness or whatever is a tactile consciousness, understand not? Linked to your tactile. Yeah. It will trigger off one. Sometimes for no reason around your head here or near your nose here or sometimes certain part of your body. For no reason, very itchy. Then you relax, silent, aware and maintain awareness. You don't fight it at all. The more you fight it, more itchy it becomes, I tell you. Just relax into it. Be with it. Like a friend, understand? Then there is no dislike, understand? Otherwise, the dislike there, you don't know. No. That's why you try to push it away or do away with it. That is a negative craving. And you cannot see that. These are the subtle craving. You cannot see. You will go and do something. There you want the easier way out. What is the easy way out? Scratch. Understand? So, try it. Continue, Adeline. Yes, good. Yeah.
It looks very easy that assume you are dead. Yeah. So you know, I'm always feel in the relaxed because body, maybe my blood group is A. You know, I'm very very tense all the time. So meditation really helped me a lot. Otherwise, I think I don't know what I will. So when I contemplate on that. Mm. If you are overly relaxed, when you meditate, you go to sleep.
Yeah, you go to sleep.
Yeah, especially that's why lying down.
The middle path is what? Where you know how to relax and maintain awareness. The key word is relax and maintain awareness. You don't relax and sleep. Relax and maintain awareness. Initially, when you do it, you will definitely snore first. Because before you sleep, you will snore. Listen to that snoring. When you can hear your own snoring, means you already improved. So initially, the snoring will be there. So maintain awareness. So initially, because when you start to do it, you are still not skillful, not stable. So when you relax, until so you are so relaxed, the body tend to lapse into the subconscious and the unconscious, where it's going to sleep. But when you reach that stage, the threshold, you have no control over your body. That's why the natural sequence of the release of the air or the exhalation from your nostril will create the snoring. And when you are aware, because you are just about to go into the unconscious or the subconscious before you sleep, that snoring is loud enough to trigger off your awareness to be aware. That's why you will hear one sound, then stop. Means that guy is a meditator. But if he snore and sing song, create harmonic
or orchestra, that one, he sleep. He is unaware of what is going on. So you can differentiate between the two. So initially, it will snore one sound. Never mind, let it snore. Then aware. Maintain awareness. Then relax again. Snore. Let it happen. Most important thing is to be aware. Then wake up. Continue. After you are very skillful, then you can decide. You want to let it snore? You want to let it go into the sleep? It will go into the sleep. The body will continue to snore. And you relax. You go into... But your awareness is still there. Initially, you don't have the skill. Your awareness, the moment is aware, you cannot snore anymore. You know why? It doesn't go into the sleep already. But the second stage is, when you are very skillful, all this snoring can go on, like you asleep, but your awareness is inside. Then when you are in deep sleep, there is no dream, no thought, you will know. Then after that deep sleep is over, when your subconscious release or unconscious release, when they are trying to release it out during your sleep, your awareness can be there and observe that the subconscious release or the unconscious release creating dream. That's why you can be aware of your dream. You can know what these things are. Then when you are very skillful, and remember, the whole sleep until the next morning is like I never sleep. That awareness inside that come out of that so-called sleep, immediately when it come out of it, when this one become conscious again, the first thought that come out, there is continuity. Then like I never sleep. Then do you realize my whole face, I no need to wash my face. It's like I never sleep. I just rested. Like I recuperated. So if you know how to meditate, means you know how to rest. You know how to allow your body to recuperate. When you do not create resistance during sleep, when you got no stress, you know what happened or not. The Chinese sensei will tell you that our body is a very intelligent clock. Understand or not? You know what clock is there or not? Our life force of nature that come, they will create that movement to heal you. That's why certain time they will send the chi to certain organ. They will heal you. That's why they say you must sleep what time, so that your that organ get nourished or recuperate. That's how you rest. If you can't sleep, you can't rest, that nature got no ability to actually heal you. To heal you, what must you do? Don't create resistance. Understand? When you are thinking, you create resistance. The life force cannot heal. That's the reason why the Western doctor, they know. If you have flu or what, do you know what they give you? Antibiotic. So that you sleep. You feel groggy, knock you off. When they knock you off, the antibiotic doesn't heal you. Do you know that? The antibiotic actually knock you off. But of course, they claim that some fight your whatever virus and all those things. But most of the time, it's your nature healing you. You go and find out yourself. Sometimes they give you vitamin. But they tell you, this drug is very good. This medicine is very good. So you have faith, understand? So you go back confidently, eat that quickly, go and sleep. Because no more fear, no more worry. Doctor or confirm or this medicine very good. That's why you sleep and next day you feel better. But actually the doctor know, I only gave him vitamin. Sometimes you know the doctor will tell you, this guy got mental problem. Every time think that he is sick. But actually he need something to calm him down. So what they will give you is vitamin and something that will make you sleep well. Like cough syrup or not. Sometimes got antibiotic inside the house. Drink. That's why sometimes cough syrup you drink, knock you off, and you sleep very well. So these are the things that the Western medicine, they know
they apply. But they don't root out your problem. Understand? They use medical science to help solve that problem temporarily. But they can never root it out. Because this is mental, psychological. Like depression, all those things. You need understanding to free. Then you can slowly, slowly do away with the medication. You don't need the medicine. The medicine is like a drug, especially the chemical imbalance and the sleeping pill, the tranquilizer. As you develop resistance, you need stronger dose. And that day, I think Sui Han asked Dr. Jayanta, what do you all do? Give higher dose. That was what he told Sui Han in front of me. Because that's what doctor do, that's all. Everything, you develop resistance after a while, and you need stronger dosage. So tranquilizer or sleeping pill initially work very well, sleep very good, soundly, 4 hours, snore like a pig, but wake up groggy. Meditation, different. Sleep very well, especially if you do metta, no bad dream and all those things. Then when you wake up, very fresh, like you rested. So there is a big difference. So meditation, no need money. See psychiatrist, see mental hospital doctor, sometimes you cannot afford, you really cannot afford, because it's not cheap. Here maybe it's still cheap, Overseas it's not cheap, I was told. So the benefits of the Buddhist teaching, the meditation, all this, you can find out yourself, you can investigate to it and develop the understanding. That's why I like Adeline's sharing, is because she is very honest. Not easy to relax, do you know that? Unless you really understand. And for me, I learned it from life itself. Because last time when I played badminton, I remember when I was very tired. Do you know what happened? When you are very tired, you just like want to relax and silent everything. Because you are so tired. So sometimes you don't know how to relax. You go and do this sound. Like when you are very tired. Understand? Very tired means no, don't even have any energy to think. No. And do you realize now there are a lot of young people, high stress job, you know what they do or not? They go and exercise before they sleep. Otherwise, they cannot sleep. You heard of that or not? Many people told me. They all high level job. They have to make the easier high stress one. They say really that fear, the panic, cannot sleep. Every day must exercise until very tired. Then only can sleep. Then some even tell me after that have to take the sleeping pill some more. Then only sleep. Otherwise, cannot sleep. It's because they don't know how to handle stress. And the skillful means is exercise until very tired. When you are very tired means what? Exhausted. No more energy to think. That's why I can sleep. Otherwise the heedless thinking continue. The fear, the worry. Because they carry all this in the memory. So life is something that you need to investigate into and find out. Then if the benefits of the Buddhist meditation, the Buddhist teaching, the Buddha Dhamma is so wonderful and so beautiful, why not you give it a try? It's free. And it doesn't harm you. No medication involved. Just develop the ability to silence your mind, to relax, to be aware, to recuperate from your tired day, and to be fresh again, to have clarity of mind. And to observe silently inside and understand clearly who are you, what are you. That's why self-knowledge free. Without self-knowledge, you cannot free. You don't know who are you, what are you, and how you end up doing all these things. How can you come out of it? How can you reverse all this? You have to reverse it through an understanding. When you straighten your view, you understand, then you will know how to respond in future. That's why you will not live life the heedless way like before. You will not react and become emotional and stir your mind at every moment of sense experience. Then your life is very different. You have understanding, clarity. You are very calm, very peaceful, very tranquil. Your mind states are very still. That's why you do not react and behave like before when you are heedless, without the right view, the right understanding, without the Dhamma understanding. That type of mind is delusion, deluded, cannot live life. The one that has the Dhamma, the understanding and the training, that mind is heedful, aware, tranquil, still, full of joy, born of understanding. That is heedful living. And the difference between heedful living and heedless living, when you understand, you will never go back to the old way, where you see the big difference. The heedless way, really, you pity them, the compassion and all of it. No wonder living beings suffer so much, where they are all the time heedless, with all the self-delusion, the ignorant, doing foolish things. They don't have the Dhamma, they don't have the right understanding, and they don't know how to train their mind to develop the right understanding and the wisdom to free their mind. Okay, continue.
It took me a long time to contemplate on how to assume you are dead.
Yeah.
So finally, I managed to penetrate.
Yeah, sadhu.
When I meditate, okay, when a dead person. Completely dead means there's no atta.
Yeah,
there's
correct.
No mundane
correct.
Mind anymore.
Correct.
You know?
That's why very easy.
So without that, then no more thoughts.
Yeah, no more thoughts.
You.
And you become very quiet, very still.
Yeah, yeah.
Then always remember when you are in that state, the thin line between the thought and that nature is so fine. The slightest movement, it come out again. That's why I see that very clearly. See that you are that nature before the arising of the thought and the mundane mind, before the stirring, the movement. But when you understand, like you go through what Adeline described, after you stabilize it, then it no longer stir. It just decides to come out. Understand now? When it decides to come out, there is still clarity, tranquility. That's what I described to you last night when I came down from Cameron Highland, remember? In the bus, where I went through the cessation, then the mind came out. Then I never talked throughout that day. Then I was fully aware. Then I saw how the senses function, how the sense data. Initially, before the bus moved, the sense data cannot come in. There is just pure awareness. Specific phenomenal awareness, everything. But when I went up the bus, I remember I sat in front. The driver is on my right. I'm in the on the left. I am facing the front row with the big screen in front. Then as the bus moved, then I realized the sense data, color, shape, and form, vibration, everything starts to flow in. Then before they even hit my sense bases, straight away, I saw what is coming. Yeah. To normal people, it will condition you into heedlessness immediately. But for me, I saw it like slow motion coming in. Then how it trickle, how it start. It's not like last time anymore. Last time, you all are like automatic one. Habitual tendency, straight away, memory react already. Then all the thinking. This one don't have. Slowly it come in. But I know, once this one start, it will create condition for me to go back to life. Yeah. I saw all that. That's why I saw how I function as a human being. How the five aggregate of form and mind come back to develop the mundane mind. To develop the response to life. Then with the understanding behind is see and understand all this. That's why the real mindfulness, sati, and the real Dhamma is so different. Last time, no condition, I cannot go into all this so deeply. Last time, I only talked about the surface. I didn't go into the deep. Well, now people can understand. People can do it. That's why now I can explain deeper how the transformation happened. It's just like last Thursday, remember? You want to learn something. How do you learn? Luckily, I didn't rub off. Huh? Let's say, meditation, okay? Most people who are not enlightened, you are here, okay? You are still deluded. You don't have the right understanding. So what do? You hold on to memory, views, opinion, conditioning, your old thinking, the old way of understanding things, learning things. With this, you are using views, opinion, conditioning, and your thinking, which is your thought process. You can never meditate and you can never learn. This is knowledge-based. Understand? Thought. That's why it leads to memory and knowledge. It will not lead to wisdom. So how will you learn? You must learn from like the Buddha, who already awakened. Well, he has realized it. That's why he has his teaching. But the trouble is, you didn't meet him in person. He was 2,000 over years ago. And now the teaching has become what you don't know. That's why a lot of people in between this search, if they don't have an open mind, they cannot find. But if you have an open mind, you are willing to listen and investigate into it, like the Buddha said, the Dhamma Sangha, then you can find. You can still find. Well, this asana is still available. So if you meet somebody, let's say, who have the understanding, who have already realized, means this person, his understanding is so different from what you used to understand or what you used to develop. What you have to do is, you don't from this old thinking mind state, try to improve yourself, no? Improve yourself until you reach here, no? You are wasting your time. Why don't you just listen attentively, then investigate? And you will come to realize what he say is almost 100% the opposite of what you are doing. Then do not fear. Put it to test. Have an open mind. Listen attentively. So when you listen attentively and understand, then try it out, like Adeline. Do you know last Sunday there was a girl, Miss Lee's, I think Mahayana on, I think a lot of the Kremita were there. He came for the first time, the Sunday class. So after the meditation, I asked anybody your question. Again, nobody put up their hand. So I asked her, what about the new girl? You know what the first comment was? I thought it's Dhamma. I came here for Dhamma. We have Mahayana, Mandarin. Instead, he hear all this teaching. Understand? Oh, then I said, the Dhamma session over already. That was last time. Six Patriarch, Platform Sutta, all those things. Then I knew what she was driving at. Then after that, I think somebody did the sharing. The sharing was very good. Alicia and Ingbi. And he became very excited. Because he never heard this type of meditation before. But she knew this type of meditation is different. Only people who has developed the understanding can do it on. Otherwise, they cannot do it. And she put up her hand. Then she asked me, you know what she asked me? She said, Brother, will all this be recorded? I said, yes, recorded. Will it be in the website? Yes, it will be. She was so happy. And do you know after that what she told me? She said, when I first came in, the impression I have is, what type of meditation is it? Everybody lying down. Lying down on the floor. You never see before this type of meditation. Then after that, she was full of joy. Then I gave her the Heart Sutta book and a few other books. People's mind can be so old thinking, so conditioned. That's why they can never learn. But luckily, he's heard the two reporting, I think. Alicia's reporting was very good. You know what was Alicia's reporting? He said she can now develop the Mahayana meditation and chanting. Until the chanting come by itself, no. In her heart, no. The chanting keep on arising. No. No. Then I say, sadhu. I say, what you do after that? Then she know how to stay with that thing, no. The awareness and the thing. Well, inside chanting already, you no need to chant, understand? No? So what must you do? Silence your mind and be with it. That's why when you develop this ability, you will come to know there is no one chanting. It's just the awareness and the chanting move as one. And that is sati. That's why when she heard that, she know this type of meditation people cannot do. Then after that, because of the sharing, Ingbi also add her experience, which is very good. That's why, without that, she will not even want to listen. Do you understand? Without the conditioning. I got people meditate lying down one. And out of the 15 or 16 of us, more than half lie down one. Oh. But lucky that they no snoring. If got snoring, she panic more. He said, these people are sleeping. They are not meditating. But the real meditation is different. So when you have met somebody who has this understanding, don't waste your time anymore. Listen attentively. Follow his instruction and try it out. If you don't try it out, you never learn. You think you know. That is Dhamma knowledge. That is delusion. If you have not tried it out, because Dhamma is to be awakened to be realized by the silent mind, not through knowledge and the thought thinking you know. That is the danger. That's why listen attentively, then understand. Do. I better write down. Listen attentively, then. Understand. Oh, no space. Oh, where to write? This one short form, then develop the understanding. And oh. And do. Just do. Then after that, realize it. Do and realize it. So listen attentively, develop the understanding, then just do. Don't try to know. Do until you are in that state. Like when I say all these wrong thoughts, forget about the words. When they arise, you're aware, isn't it? You know they are creating fear, worry, anxiety, anger, and emotion in you, isn't it? So you know it's wrong thought. Evil. What do? You have already trained your mind to be aware, isn't it? Then stay with it. Aware. This is doing. Understand? Then find out. This, whatever emotion and wrong thought, because they are dependent, originating, they will cease. But don't go and cling onto that knowledge before it happened and say, yeah, Brother Teo say one, correct. Then you never learn. You really wait till that anger, that fear, that emotion cease. Then through that realization, that silent mind, that is what doing is all about. Then after that, you realize. Then you come out of it, you will know what that thing is. Then you rejoice. You say, the Buddha is so wise. The five aggregate of form and mind, especially Sankara, they are impermanent, lead to suffering. Because they are impermanent, they are dependent, originating, conditioned, arising, causal phenomena, non-self, empty, not me. The moment you know it's not you, you're free. Then you realize fear was never me, anger was never me,
Then why do you go and every time hear people, especially very experienced and senior meditator, telling you,
"Ah, yeah, I still got anger. I still have fear."
Means they are not enlightened, isn't it? But why do they say, "I still have fear"? Means they are still deluded, thinking that fear is them. Anger is them. It was never you. They arise because of your self-delusion, ignorance. You cling on to it thinking that it's your fear, your anger. But these are dependent originating state, condition arising mental states, impermanent, come and go. That's like Sankara Anicchang, Sankara Dukkang, when you attach. Then Sankara Anatta. So all this understanding, when you do, you will realize. Then you awaken. The moment you understand and awaken, your mind is free. That is what the Dhamma is all about. Then last Tuesday one better, you go and listen. Last Tuesday one is about duality. Clinging, grasping, holding, you remember? That one also linked to this one. The duality one, they talk about, you heard people teaching you practice letting go. Last Tuesday was very good. You cannot practice meditation. Who practice? The thought practice. And it's repetitive. Practicing is to become mechanical, repetitive. So how can you practice meditation? Practice wisdom. Practice metta, to be good. You cultivate, you don't practice. That's all. Cultivate means develop the understanding, then do it. Practice means before the understanding come, practice, 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 hoping to become enlightened, hoping to have metta. That's why I practice. Practice to let go. How can you practice letting go? When you understand, you see the danger, you will not hold, isn't it? Then what is there to let go? Who let go? The person who is still deluded with the ignorant hold, that's why he got to practice letting go. If you hold, how can you let go? Because to you will tell people, it's just like when you have a problem, what do? The Buddha say, have right view, accept the reality, don't attach, don't cling, then act. But this fellow hold on to this problem and say, this is my problem. Understand or not? That's why I have to think about it. I have to worry about it. I have to get the understanding through thought to be free from it. That's why they hold. Then they practice what? Aiyah, let go lah. Don't want to think lah. Huh. Inside, still angry, unhappy. Okay lah, I forgive you lah. But inside, the forgiveness was never there. This is practice letting go. How can you practice like that? Wisdom is to be developed through an understanding and awakening. You don't practice to be wise. You cannot practice wisdom. Remember that. You cannot practice using the thought. Understand? And everything becomes mechanical and thought-based. Become knowledge. You cultivate. Cultivate means what? I don't practice, I don't repeat, I develop understanding. That's why I cultivate. Which I keep on improving myself to an understanding. And to understand, I need to silence, to observe. I need to put aside all the views, opinion, and the old thinking. I assume I don't know anything. I find out. A clean slate. That's how you meditate. Okay? So the Tuesday class, you have the time, you better go and listen. It will help you a lot. Those who have heard the thing, they will know. The video hasn't come out. Tomorrow. No need to rush. We are not rushing you. But I just want to remind them, because that one is related to tonight one. You combine these two, the whole sharing become very complete. Okay? So we better end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits.
transfer of merits, then after that you can make your aspiration. Akasata cha bomata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa jirang rakantu lokasasana etta wata caam ehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati sidiya diyang nenya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo dewo asatu kalena sasa sampati heto ca Vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Triple Gem. Then we end. Thank you. Yeah.
And Fiji's birthday is tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we set up the food first.
Okay, yeah, start there.